Let's pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us this morning, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts would be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A story from the time of the judges. Shimshon is a scrawny lad from Zorah, a scrawny lad with chicken arms and a thick black ponytail. His bowed legs give him a pigeon-toed stride, but today he strides with purpose, for Shimshon has met a doe-eyed Philistine lass from Timnah. I'm going to marry her! And so he skips down into the valley, a four-mile trek, humming a tune, waltzing beside streams. He's getting close. He can smell the grape blossoms as he nears Timnah's famed vineyards. He sees a flower. He stoops to pick it for his beloved, and that's when it happens. The soft pad of large feet, a roar, and then 400 pounds of teeth, claws, and fur upon the youth. He goes down hard, breaking almost beneath the weight of this animal, this beast. Above him, a mane matted, wags, yellow teeth clack and snap, a pink tongue drizzles saliva, and teeth bar, opening wide then, seeking to fit Shimshon's head into that great maw. The pungent odor of cat fills his nostrils, the gorge rising in his throat. Cat, for this is a young lion. Time slows and a thought flits through Shimshon's mind. So this is how Shimshon, Samson, son of Manoah, dies. A stringy snack for a hungry lion. But then, a holy wind, the descent of the Spirit of God, and Samson feels that energy pulsing through him. He throws off the great cat. He stands. He sweeps back his hair again into the ponytail that had broken as the cat jumped upon him. The shaggy animal shakes its head and charges a second time. Samson catches hold of it, his fingers slipping between the snapping jaws. The sweat pours from his forehead. And the Spirit of Yahweh surges through him with power. And those spindly, weak arms begin to tug and pull. The roaring lion begins to mewl and grunt. And then the sickening pop, the rip, the snap. And Samson, the weak young man, tears the lion from stem to stern, ripping it apart. Now, perhaps St. Peter is thinking of some story like Samson and the lion this morning. After all, St. Peter's hearers in our epistle reading are like spindly, weak youths traveling down the road towards their heavenly marriage. And out of nowhere, as they draw near to Timnah, a lion springs upon them. But this is no ordinary lion. It is the prince of the power of the air, the adversary, the diabolos, the devil. Peter's hearers find themselves suddenly overwhelmed with temptation, overwhelmed with persecution, wrestling in the dust with a 400-pound creature, a creature from the ancient world. Those yellow teeth snapping, clacking above them, that matted mane shaking over them, that pink tongue drizzling saliva, and that pungent smell of cat making the gorge rise. The devil? Really? May seem a little droll to us. Thought we kind of outgrew that when Thomas Edison flipped on the first light bulb. We chuckle and we shake our heads. And yet, inevitably, in all of our lives, there comes that moment. That moment on our heavenly pilgrimage as we head towards our beloved, towards the marriage feast of the Lamb, when we smell those grape blossoms. And there's Timna's vineyard opening before us. And out of nowhere, something springs upon us. Something that is more than our own bent desires. Something ancient. Something horrible. A darkness that we struggle to overcome. Going down beneath that 400 pounds of fur and claws, that matted mane wagging over us, those yellow teeth clacking and snapping, that pink tongue drizzling saliva, and that pungent smell. Something roaring through our minds. Images. Images of temptation. Pictures of revenge, debauchery, illusions of control and power. Be a god, cries the lion, roaring through who we are. Be a god, do what you want, do your own thing, cast off God's petty limitations on you. And so often, our weak little chicken arms go limp. And this devilish creature swallows us up whole. Be sober and alert, writes St. Peter, for your adversary the devil goes about, prowling, roaring, seeking whom he may devour. And yet so often we are devoured. Overcome by the temptation. And then, careening our lives deeper and deeper into horror. As if something dark is egging us on, propelling us, messing with our own twisted desires, pushing us towards self-destruction. The lonely old man in front of his TV barking and screaming at the news or the sporting game. The college student passed out in their own vomit, bubbling out drunken snores. Or perhaps an overwhelming influx of persecution, attack, all against us, nothing right in this world. But St. Peter does not call us to despair in this moment. For there is one who tears the devil from stem to stern, rips apart the evil one. Do you see him in Peter's earlier words? Behind them, peeking through. Be clothed with humility, writes St. Peter, For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Do you see him? That humble one, fighting the 400-pound beast of claw and fur, entrusting himself to his Father, crying out in the words of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? They surround me with open mouths like ravening, roaring lions. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. This morning, through the words of St. Peter, Jesus, the humble one, invites us into his victory over the devil, a victory through humility. The story goes that a hermit in the desert was fighting the devil. How exactly are you beaten? Said the hermit. Is it through fasting? Nah, I don't need any food. Is it through vigils, all night prayers? I don't need any sleep. Is it through separation from the world? I live in the desert too. What defeats you then? Nothing. Except one thing that I do not have. Humility. Sisters and brothers, this morning the humble one, Jesus, invites us into his victory over the devil through humility. We do not have to despair when that adversary springs upon us. All we have to do is look at our own spindly, weak arms and know that we are nothing in and of ourselves. And admit that. Acknowledge the reality that in our own power we cannot face the adversary. Or in the words of that modern manual of askesis, trial and work, AA's 12 steps, acknowledge your own inability and throw yourself upon God. Throw yourself upon God. Jesus invites us this morning into his victory over the devil through humility, recognizing our own lack, and then strangely feeling that holy wind upon us, the surging within us, as Jesus somehow, slowly, by the power of his Spirit, at his Father's behest, begins to catch the devil's jaws and pull the pop, the crack, and then ripping our enemy stem from stern. Peter writes, resist the devil, firm in faith, trusting in God, not in yourself. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen.